I trade freight services in association with Who1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Dr. Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Dr. Who podcast number 176. Hang on, I've got a note here. Never trust a man with dirty fingernails. Either way, I'm Adam, and this is Rhys Parton.
Oh, corks.
Here's Mary Lang.
Why do you make fire in your mouth?
Robert Haynes.
It's a floater, all right!
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Were you trying to attract my attention?
No. And no. Matthew Kressel.
This one has muscles like a horse.
I know I do, but I don't brag.
That's what she said.
Anyway, right. This week, we're talking about the Talons of Weng Chiang. Never mind.
Yay.
So, sometimes we have to put up with these terrible stories as part of a...
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Why did you put our time?
Yeah. I think we converted someone who had never seen this story before.
Did we?
Rhys.
What? Hadn't you seen it before?
Okay, well, honestly, right, we're going to have to race through it to a certain degree.
You don't want to know when I first saw this.
Never mind. Who's eating? Whoever's eating, can you please mute your microphone?
Kirby.
Right.
But they're walkers.
Just mute while the rattling the crisps, please.
Adam will ask you to be a walker soon and walk out of the podcast.
Be quiet. Now, Talons of Weng Chiang. We have to race through this. Six episodes to try and get through, and there's a lot to talk about. So it begins in a beautifully recreated sort of theatrical musical type thing. Was that, now somebody will know this, from the old BBC series, the good old days? It used to be like...
Good old days. No, was it wasn't.
This was an actual theatre.
It was an actual theatre because it did look very much like the good old good old days set.
Days.
Shut up. Anyway, so and we meet instantly Jago and Chang. Chang's on his way to the stage.
Yeah, this was the Royal Theatre in Northampton.
Oh, was it? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Well done. Thank you for that.
They traded one of the studio sessions for an outside broadcasting, which is why it's on video instead of film.
Oh, okay. Good.
And it's still there, and they occasionally do tours, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and if you have the special edition DVD, it's on the Now and Then feature, which is on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the thing that always annoys me about this episode, and there's not a lot that annoys me about it because it's a bit of a masterpiece, is the fact that even though he's absolutely superb and sinister and everything, the fact they couldn't have got a Chinese actor to play... You know, the Chinese role. And the other thing that annoyed me about his portrayal, although it's very, very good to a certain degree, is the fact that he sort of deliberately drops his is. You know, he'll say, instead of this is my act, he'll say this my act. He'll drop out little words like that because it's part of him having to do this Chinese accent, which I think is a bit...
Well, part of that is that they are deliberately... trying to be over the top and do the melodramatic... Yeah.
Especially that Cockney guy at the beginning.
Buller, the taxi driver. Yeah,
now, it goes back to when we were talking a couple of weeks ago about Toberman and Tomb of the Cybermen, and Mary was commenting on that.
About the racist side of things.
Yes, and very much keeping in mind that this in particular makes this very much a product of its time.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't feel uncomfortable with the sort of racist sort of undertones in this, but I don't think they were trying to be racist. I think it was purely accidental, but I just find it, they had a few Chinese actors as the supporting cast. I can't really believe that in the mid-1970s there weren't any really good Chinese actors that could have portrayed Chang.
Apparently there weren't any available. They did look.
Oh, did they? I apologize.
Adam,
Robert. Yes, Robert.
Going back to Mind of Evil, which I watched, they did have trouble finding Chinese actors for that as well.
Yeah, but they did find a particularly good one, didn't they?
Lack of booking sometimes. Mm.
Christmas bells, Robert?
Okay.
No? My wife is just...
Well, it is the middle of winter, isn't it?
Never mind that. Let's get back to this extremely long story.
Good luck.
Well, anytime we look at something from a previous era, I mean, we're always going to be looking at it from our modern sensibilities.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we could spend a lot of time with every episode about, you know, oh, this bothers me and that bothers me. Well, because that was common in the time that it was filmed, so. Yeah. I don't know. I can't see getting upset about any of it.
Now, remember, my kids are all Chinese, and Louisa, the 19-year-old, watched this with me the other night, and I asked her last night if she had any comments about it. I asked her specifically about the racism, for one thing. She said, no, not didn't really bother her, and she really likes the story. Yeah. But she's not getting, she doesn't want to get up at 5 in the morning to...
fair enough. No, what I'm saying is, that's what I said, it wasn't, there was nothing uncomfortable, it was purely accidental, and I have to say that I can't remember the actor's name, the one who plays Lee Sin Chang is outstanding. Amazing.
John Bennett.
Yeah, it's just
he was on the commentary. One thing he was saying in the commentary was okay, I guess. That's nice.
Yeah. just saying that. Yeah, that's all.
In the commentary, he was saying, oh my goodness, look at my hair. I'm totally bald now, when he was recording the commentary. Yeah. He's totally dead now, I guess.
Yeah.
But what I will say...
Like 2005.
Just as a bit of a, you know, an addition to what I was saying about him dropping his izzies and stuff like that, that was quite clever.
It's
because
the invasion of the dinosaurs.
Yes, he was. Yes, where was I? Yes, he was indeed. Right. He only did that when he was on stage. He had a bit more a wider English vocabulary when he was off stage and being himself. And I thought that was quite a clever side to it, that he put on a sort of exaggerated Chinese persona on stage, which was really quite clever. I mean, this story in itself, I was judging by the end of it, that I personally think that Robert Holmes is the best Doctor Who writer ever.
Yes.
I know there was a couple of duffers he did, but if you look at this one and the Case of Androzani,
Mysterious Planet,
that too. Anyway, moving on.
Another thing with the racism, that they were deliberately poking at the racism with lines like, "I understand we all look alike."
Very good. Yeah, it's very good. Again, good writing. Right, yes. Now, I'd noticed the poster, the Palace Theatre poster, in which the Doctor and Leela come across very quickly. And it says that he's a master of magic. So, obviously, at least somebody's able to keep him under control. And that, right, where's he gone? Magic? He hasn't flapped his ears yet, so maybe he has kept magic under control. Move on. So, yes, the atmosphere created by the visual effects people and the designers and everything, totally believable that this is in the Victorian age.
And they also tried to do things where the magic act is done as it would have been.
What, did he flap his ears in those days as well?
the levitation act is being done by having two guys dressed all in black.
Don't give the game away, if Kirby. I'm sorry, members of the Magic Circle.
They did it on the commentary.
Oh, did they? Yeah. I apologize.
They spoiled it.
Which, by the way, that was the first time when I listened to the commentary, first time I heard how they did that, because there's many ways of doing a levitation, and it didn't occur to me that they would just have two guys lift her up.
Yeah.
I was convinced it was them using CSO until I heard the commentary, and I went, wow.
Yeah, because even then when you watch the scene, you really can't even begin to detect those guys.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
Like I say, I must get around to listening to the commentary.
Or John Bennett was lying.
Anyway, back to the episode. Casey, there's a bit where Casey, be quiet. There's a bit where Casey first meets Jago, and when Jago's saying his lines, Casey starts mouthing them again. I always find that very, very annoying. It doesn't do it a lot, but I did notice.
You always notice that, Adam.
I know, I find it really irritating.
Oh, a quick note. The conductor at this music hall is Dudley Simpson.
Yeah, yes. Good music.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, and that very first shot at the beginning of part one.
He's there a few times.
He's there a few times. He's there when that singer.
When they're doing Daisy as well.
Just before, obviously the Doctor and Leela haven't quite got involved when they first arrive, and they see the poster, and then they hear the scuffling of the death of Bulla. It's just Leela says, what tribe lives here? And the Doctor says, Cockneys. I've got
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Cockneys.
Yes.
I love like that.
So, yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting that I think this is the only story that Tom Baker does totally without the scarf. It's very obviously made to look a bit like Sherlock Holmes in this, and succeeds greatly. And this is how he got the part for Hound of the Baskervilles, obviously, because he was so good in this.
Mm-hmm. I have that on VHS. I've got to dig that out.
I haven't, and
I've been wanting to see it because it's not available here.
No, well, the Tom Baker version.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that bothered me in this whole thing is that the costumes that they've got the Doctor and Leela in, to me, don't look like authentic Victorian. They look more like the vaudeville house type costumes.
I think they were designed to be a bit theatrical. The costume designer wanted to go that way because
you think they wanted them to be theatrical rather than realistic.
Yes, he did. No, he did. Yeah,
and the
that's
first
what he's saying because of the music hall business. That's he was designing it like that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the first costume that Leela is in is also designed to be a little bit androgynous because Stuart Fell had to wear it for several seasons.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Now we're getting to the bit where Jago sees the blood running down Mr. Sin's hand.
Yes.
What was that aid of? Any ideas? Or was it just a remnants of Bullen?
It's supposed to be to show that he's murdered somebody.
I thought it was him
bleeding. I thought it was him bleeding. I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was Mr. Sim bleeding. Yeah. Mm.
Well, it's internal. I guess it is possible.
Mm. Kind of jumping around a scene that has one of my favourite lines from Mr. Jago, which was, "I'd have propelled him onto the pavement with a punt up the posterior."
I'm telling you, Jago had so many good lines, though, Reese. I mean,
he does.
You could actually make a great big book of his lines. Some of the put me downs in it from Wang Chiang himself. To some of the characters in it were really good too.
Oh, yeah, has anyone ever thought of getting Jago and Lightfoot together and have some radio?
They have.
That would be a good idea. Though. It's like getting one of us to go to that Doctor Who convention in November.
Yeah,
of course. So when they fish Bulla's body out of the river, there's an old hag that
it was
very
brilliant too.
She took her teeth out for that scene.
Clearly. Yeah. Reminds me of the scene from Blackadder 2 when he goes to try and find the wise woman.
Onions.
No, okay, never mind.
Never seen anything like it in all my puff.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? So, meanwhile, they have managed to capture one of his cronies. Yes, at the police station, Chang very kindly offers him a little sweet, and he probably...
Would you like a jelly? Oh, no, not a jelly.
Yeah, it dies. The Doctor laughs.
Show us a trick.
I think he's dead, sir.
It's getting better.
You're not dead yet.
I'm not dead yet.
So it's quite good that the Doctor's very quickly sort of embroiled in the mystery of it all.
He looks at his hand and says, scorpion poison. Like, whoa, how did he figure that out? Yeah.
And, of course, there's a poster on the wall to say mystery of missing girls as well. And smoking on set, of course, was allowed in the 70s because there's Jago smoking a massive cigar that doesn't seem to ever go down. It's just stays there.
Yeah, Christopher Benjamin mentions that because they had to swap the cigars out to keep continuity, that he actually took the leftover cigars home with him at the end of filming.
Of course.
And he also said that they had a much better the cigars that they were using then were apparently very good compared with ones that you would get nowadays to save money.
Mm. So they go and they meet Lightfoot at the mortuary because he's obviously looking at Bulla's body. I love the way he sort of just turns up and he says, "Who the devil are you, sir?" Just suddenly appears at his right shoulder.
And how do you like the
question him too much?
How do you like the masking tape disguising the electrical outlets on the wall?
I know, yeah, I remember that too.
No, I didn't see that. I should be more observant, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I keep looking for it, and I've never noticed it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to look for it next time I watch it. Meanwhile, the Doctor disappears, and followed by, or pursued by, an assailant. But fortunately, Leela's there with a Janus Thorn. And it's probably the only time she doesn't get told of using it. But in hindsight, she could have used it a few more times later on in the story. But maybe she didn't have any honour.
Yes.
Yeah, so then they go down to the sewer.
There's one. It's one of the electrical outlets. At 20 minutes and about 21 seconds, as the Doctor's moving the cab driver's clothes and he's walking towards the wall, you can see the tape over the wall socket.
I'll have to look that up.
Am I moving on from that bit? Yeah.
So you have it running?
Never mind. Right, we end up descending to the descending to the sewers, and I have to say, even though the actual great big model of the giant rat is a bit naff, when they did actually in this pit make it feel like the rats were very large, the actual real rats they used.
That sewer, they are actually going into a real manhole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, and he had to remove his coat because it was too big.
I know I'm being
You can go to where is the actual location? Okay. You can actually see. Yeah, you can
go down.
But
there.
It's no longer it's no longer a manhole. It's more of a grate. But you can see right where they were to go down into the sewers.
Cool.
Anyway, yeah, and Louise Jameson also mentions on the commentary that when they were shooting this scene, on the very first take, an onlooker ruined the shot by shouting something out, and then they had to keep doing it over and over and over again and never quite got it right.
Yeah, it was like...
They used the first take, though, but they dubbed over the voice.
It was like, you go, doctor, or something like that.
Yeah.
The only thing that came to me about this, of course, if they're in Victorian sewers, that the sanitation in a sewer is pretty bad now, let alone in those days. And I think Leela would have become pretty ill pretty quick from going down there. Because obviously being from another planet, etc., etc. She wouldn't have had any immunity against it. So, yes.
Well, she's a human from the future, so she's got all the immunity and whatnot.
Not necessarily.
Because it becomes a plot point in Invisible Enemy. Remember?
That was it.
Plus, she travels around with the Doctor, in case you hadn't noticed.
Okay. Anyway, so basically they get attacked by the rat. So episode two opens up with surviving getting attacked by the rat by running back up the manhole cover. Manhole ladder, I should say.
And then using the manhole cover to cover the manhole.
Yeah, so Casey, meanwhile, is saying there's a ghost in the theatre and takes Jago to Lee Sing Cheng, whatever his name is,
Cheng.
That's the one. Dressing room where there's a wooden sort of part of a totem on the wall, and of course Jago passes that off as being the ghost, and of course he isn't.
Mr. Chang. He said something about Casey, you're a pixelated leprechaun.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
I did hear that line. I was thinking, where would pixelated have been used in that time?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it would have been, but I can't think. I mean, even in the 70s, I was thinking, where would pixelation have been a part of a vocabulary? So it must have had a different meaning at that time.
Yeah.
What is pixelated?
Having
a look.
Oh, thank you. Yes. So anyway, the development of Jago's character, who's probably... could be probably the best character in the whole story because of his brilliant
life. Adam.
Yes.
I've worked it out. It says the term should not be confused with pixelated, which means whimsical and bemused.
Well, there you go. See, I'm glad I said it. Mentioned it now.
Interesting.
Pixelated, not pixelated. Pixelated.
Anyway, like a pixie. Yes.
As I was saying, Jago does have some of the best lines and scenes in the whole. Production. We have that a very poor effect of the glowing eyes from Chang, which doesn't matter.
It
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But my favorite scene is in this episode with the Leela and the then Professor Lightfoot eating.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're eating the joints of meat. Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
He goes
yes.
to eat normally, and then he just goes, oh, "I won't bother. I'll just bite into it."
So, yeah, I mean, he's doing his best as a Victorian gentleman to not make her feel, yes. you know, ridicule or anything.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the hang on, my mute's stopped working. The we finally get to meet Weng Chiang himself when Chang goes and taps on the loose.
And we we enter Phantom of the Opera.
Yes.
Yeah.
I serve you, Lord. I am your servant, Lord, and all that nonsense. Yeah, so obviously this is, we find out very quickly that...
Servant.
Yeah, thank you. We find very quickly that he requires young girls. That sounds a bit like a pervert. Now, I've had a great deal of trouble keeping my mute on this particular thing for some reason, and it keeps on turning itself off.
I can still hear you, Adam.
No, I'm talking about the episode. Shut up.
I never take my mute off.
Yeah, so yeah, he requires young girls or life essences. So what's the difference then between young girls' life essences and men? Anybody got any ideas?
I didn't want them to say it.
They're young, they're full of life.
Eat more estrogen.
Is that what you need, then?
Or maybe testosterone balance, yeah.
Or it's more innocent, or there's, something to that
nature. I don't know. It needs
a good story.
Ladies of the night.
It fits the melodramatic.
Oh, yes, it does. Yes.
It's obviously trying to make it feel a bit like Jack the Ripper type thing, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
Women are always the victims, you know, and the young and more innocent, you know, the more... wonderful, it seems.
Anyway, the Doctor appears at the theatre and tries to do a little quick magic audition for Jago. And then, of course, Jago's already been hypnotised. I quite like the way the Doctor sort of works out that he's been hypnotised and sort of re-hypnotises him. And the way he's sort of saying, oh, I wouldn't be ever hip, and then suddenly goes into sort of his trance very quickly.
Yes.
I think it's in the second episode where they have the haystack in the middle of a road.
Yes, from the covering the Porsche.
Oh, right. Yes. Now the other thing was, Mr. Sin himself. Interesting that I noticed that his size changes throughout the story. He goes from quite small to quite big in relation to his actual dimensions, because when he's got to walk around, he's substantially taller than he is when he's a puppet.
Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
When it's an actor and when it's a dummy.
Yeah.
And he's a very specific actor. He's Deep Roy, who was later all the Oompa Loompas in the remake of Willy Wonka.
Yep.
Stop!
He's in Star Trek.
I thought he was bloody good as.
Yeah, he's in Star Trek.
Sin, really? Yeah, excellent.
Absolutely.
It's very scary when Leela stabs him in the neck with that knife, and it doesn't faze him at all. He just keeps on coming. That's a very scary moment.
And unlike in The Robots of Death, they didn't put a funny sound effect when that happened. Yes. They kept it at the
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, although, showing off. For some reason, this was the first time I noticed all the oinking. Subtle oinking.
Yeah.
It seems like that.
Mm-hmm.
Subtle? Oh, yeah, the subtle oinking. Now, meanwhile, Chang and Sin are in some sort... And Weng Chiang. We have to call him Weng Chiang because he doesn't become Magnus Grill really until the last episode.
That's why they changed the name of the episode during... It was going to be The Talons of Grill. But he's never mentioned that it's Grill until the last episode.
Yeah, but I noticed in that episode, and I've forgotten until now that he actually has the key, doesn't he? While he's traveling in the carriage, he actually has the key in his hand, the key to the time cabinet.
Trionic lattice.
Maybe.
Yes.
So I can't remember how he ends up losing it, and the Doctor ends up.
Give him 2 points right now because that was obviously one of your questions.
What?
Yes.
I'd like to know how he ends up losing the key. How does he end up losing the key? Because the Doctor ends up having the key, doesn't he?
because when they're in episode 5, when they're shifting everything about what it's put in the bag, and the bag gets left by one of the Chinese hands at the theater where it's found by Jago, who takes it to Lightfoot's house where the doctor finds it.
Hold on. Ooh, yes.
I am nerd, hear me roar.
Now, obviously, there's a
straightforward.
There's a scene in the when they're sort of trying to find out the lair of Wang Chiang in the theatre, the doctor and Jago, where the doctor gets a rope and does his Tarzan bit from one part of the stage to the other. I'm sure somebody must have put that on YouTube with a Tarzan sound effect.
Yes.
Or if they haven't, they will do now. Yeah, that was quite a good scene, actually. That was quite well choreographed, you know, the fact that he didn't fall to his death and regenerate.
Yes.
I think the OB cameras sort of helped them do lots of different sort of angles as well.
Yeah.
Being lightweight.
Yeah.
Which I appreciated.
Good. Obviously, Leela gets attacked by Sin with a knife while Lightfoot is out in the grounds. And I do like the bit of Lightfoot getting
a message for you.
You can hear Lightfoot getting attacked in the in the background.
Yes.
Yeah.
Deb's just sent me a text message saying I've got the doctors at 11:15. That's great. That's really convenient, that, isn't it? Thanks, Deb. So I've got, looks like I'm probably going to have to duck out.
Going back to a real quick thing back in episode 1. The alleyway that's where the Janus Thorn is being used. Although that was obviously on location, all that's been torn down now. But that is where the Globe Theater is. They tore all that down and to do the rebuilt Globe Theaters, and that obviously connects with the new series because they filmed an episode at the Globe Theater.
Yep.
Oh, excellent. Wow. Anyhow. Yes. Leela sort of does some jumping over furniture to escape the fast moving, escape Sin, and quickly meets up with the doctor in the gardens.
Stuart Fell goes through the window.
Oh, does he?
Stuart fell through the window.
And poor old Lightfoot, he does get quite a lot of bashing.
Stuart fell through the window, yeah.
Very good. He does. The Lightfoot does get a few bashings in this story.
I know, poor guy. Yeah, well, look at them at the end with you know their arms in slings and bandaged heads.
Leela, traces. Am I?
Oh, Adam.
Someone's
you're cyberleading.
That'd be me then, wouldn't it?
I had some the other day. Some crackling. It was nice.
Crackling.
Hang on. Right.
I've got some walkers.
I'm gonna have to
crisps.
Mute for a second. Then I'm gonna have to keep recording, but mute. And I'll phone the missus up while I'm doing that.
Okay. Right. You know what I thought was good? You know when the policeman, when they go back to the police station and they're talking about finding a dead body outside and the doctor says, oh, that's convenient, isn't it? And then Leela's just about to say, well, that was me. I killed him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And the doctor says, you know.
Hey, have we lost Matthew?
He says we did.
Oh.
Someone had him back. Scooby-Doo.
Someone had me back. Where is he?
I clicked add to call. It's not doing it.
I don't think we can do that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, who originated the call?
Adam.
Adam?
Mm.
Adam?
Adam.
Adam. speaking of Jago being bashed up a lot in that episode, probably the last episode, Lightfoot said, I'm going after them because I've got a few lumps to exchange with them or something like that.
Yeah.
A few lumps they owe them. Oh, is that?
It's some of the best writing in this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's really on top of his game. And that was his last episode. I mean, that was his last episode as script editor, was it? I
believe so, yeah.
He stayed around as script editor till the middle of the next season. I think the last story he's credited on is Image of the Fendal.
Yeah, and you can sort of tell, can't you, his sort of era with the gothic sort of horror, which sort of ended with that.
I think it was in the commentary they mentioned that He didn't know that he was writing the double act business until someone pointed it out to him years later.
Yeah.
Huh.
It was just the way that he wrote, and it's just brilliant.
Yeah, well,
isn't this the last story for Philip Hinchcliffe too?
Yeah.
Yes.
This was his last story as producer.
Didn't we have JNT after that, and things went downhill?
We have Graham Williams for 3 years after that, then we get JNT for 9 years, and then the show goes off the air till 96 for one night, and then back in 2005.
Hello, am I all right now?
Oh, no. Dear.
No, okay, I'll come back in a minute then, thank you.
But Robert Holmes, in fact, didn't know he was writing this story at first either. Well, we're talking about that.
Oh, that's right.
Really?
He didn't know?
What happened was that Robert Banks Stewart, who had written Terror of the Zygons and The Seeds of Doom, was commissioned to do a story called Foe from the Future. That's why there's a line later in the story about Greil being a foe from the future. And Holmes went off on a vacation to Europe, and his wife got sick on the way back, so it was even more delayed getting back, and he walked into the script editor's office to suddenly discover that Robert Banks Stewart had got another job, and they very quickly needed a 6-part story to finish the series. Mm-hmm. And he had to literally sit down and rush and write this story in quite a hurry to have it ready.
They had to break the rules because normally a script editor isn't allowed to write the stories, although it happened many times.
He edited his own work.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
How am I now?
You know what else?
Much better.
That sounds good.
Because that means my audio probably goes. Because I've noticed there's a delay between me sounding odd to you.
Oh, when you do that.
Yeah, and there's a delay to my recording. It comes a little bit afterwards, so I'll have to use my backup if it goes a bit funny. Anyway, so can I carry on from where I was? Is that all right?
Well,
I was listening to you, Natty. Sergeant. It's just we have got limited time today, unfortunately.
You do or we do?
I do.
Can I just finish up what I was saying very quickly?
You can indeed.
May you.
A lot of elements from Foe from the Future did end up in Talons of Wang Chiang, the mutated villain, for example, the time travel business.
Yeah.
If you're interested in it, there's a short feature on the DVD that talks about it. And also, Big Finish eventually did it as part of the Fourth Doctor Lost Stories box set.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, and awesome. Yeah.
Carry on.
Okay. Thank you. So the Doctor draws a plan out on the tablecloth.
Yeah,
I think Lightfoot alludes to the fact they better get that cleared up before his housekeeper comes in. Surely the housekeeper is under his employ, and it's not really the housekeeper's business if there's a
Watson.
Yes.
Yeah, his housekeeper apparently also works for Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Right. Anyway,
yeah, so basically Wang Chiang sent Chang out because he's been a bit of a bumbler to find some more women for him to feast on, and he immediately finds a lady at her own door.
Yeah, wouldn't it be cool if Jago and Lightfoot were to meet the Madame Vastra and company?
Yeah, it would have been brilliant.
Yes.
But they could still do it.
He's being followed by Leela. Because Leela, obviously, she followed them back to the lair, didn't she?
And she did that stunt where she jumps on the back of the carriage.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And there's a lovely shot of them rowing the little dinghy along the Thames. It does look very believable of its age that it would have been exactly. It did look like Victorian Thames. So that was quite cleverly done.
When they said that when they were filming, they had an audience there. It was reminding me of the audience that they had during the filming of The Curse of the BS.
All right. So Leela had ample opportunity to attack Wang Chiang. But again, she does a bit of bumbling.
Hang on. Yeah.
There's a bit of noise in the other room. I just have to turn it. Can you hear that?
No.
No.
So Alicia's up. When Alicia gets up, she turns the volume up on the TV in the other room, and unfortunately I can hear it, so I don't really like that.
Shouldn't she be in school?
No, it's summer holidays. And she's finished school anyway.
We're all going on a summer holiday.
Where was I?
Our school starts in just a week and a half.
No, the video is just an event. It's just start their summer holiday. September, they start back up again. But Alicia is...
back to school, Kirby.
My youngest daughter starts high school in... And also we take my middle daughter to university in a couple of weeks.
Loud. I can't even have got earphones on yet. Good Lord.
Leave the domestics off the podcast, please. Yay.
Right, where'd I get up to?
Directly above the center of the earth.
Right, where'd I get up to? Yeah, so Leela escapes.
That's where I am too, and I don't see him here.
What?
Directly above the center of the earth.
Hang on, my thing is frozen. Right, Leela escapes to the sewers. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Obviously, the Chinese...
Well, are you just interested in her underwear, Adam?
I'll come to that in a minute. Now, the Chinese henchmen carrying in a washing basket. I'm just interested in their boiler suits, the fact that they didn't look really of the age. They were sort of a bit bodged. So the girl that gets kidnapped by Chang gets rescued while Leela's in the in the sewers. Now, yes, she gets chased by the rat. The doctor sort of gets down there to just about nearly rescue her, but unfortunately, she gets grabbed by the rat, and that was a bit of a cliffhanger.
Wouldn't she be a bit savage by that rat with those teeth? Yeah.
She didn't scream much.
She's the savage.
She didn't scream very much during her time in Doctor Who.
No, and she hardly had any clothes on, so that rat would have easily bitten into her.
Yeah, but she did scream a few times in this episode. Now, yes, Robert, you can see her nipples through her top.
Yes, it's very revealing, isn't it?
I'm surprised they got away with it. With certain members of the White House family.
I'm surprised she allowed it. She said...
She actually liked it. She said she found it very comfortable.
Oh, my. Well, because she has spoken in the past about how uncomfortable she was wearing just those skins because she thought they were so revealing. Well,
that's the most revealing thing ever in Doctor Who.
Yeah,
that beats Perry's bikini in the Planet of Fire. Oh. It really does.
Settle down, Robert. Settle down.
Is that how that story ended up on the story?
That's how it ended
list?
Up. On, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Those were selected by random, but I'm one of my happier random selections.
I want to know how you managed to get to pick three stories that I did not own. If it's...
I reiterate, they were chosen by random. So obviously, this is where they change Leela's costume. Halfway through the story. I do like the design of the time cabin. It's a beautiful beautiful design, that.
Yeah.
Because, again...
Can somebody answer me a question?
No.
Why the time cabinet ended up in Professor Lightfoot's house?
Most to do with the family heirloom, I think he alluded
to. Right, it was given to him by the Emperor. It was given to his family by the Emperor.
You're right.
Yeah. They did a great job in making it look like an old... cabinet.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously they would have to design and build
it. Great designer. I thought the design all throughout was absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, it was indeed.
Mm-hmm. And later on, the bit where he places the key into, when it started to light up, it looked a bit like the same pattern on the Pandorica, I thought.
Oh, did it?
That struck me too, yeah.
We have a couple of times mentioned Pygmalion in recent episodes of the 20 Megabyte podcast.
Yes, I know.
And it's just funny that here we go for... Louise Jameson as Leela, dressed in, who's Liza Doolittle. Yeah, she looks just like her.
Yes.
So it's a weird connection going on here.
Yeah, the relationship between the Fourth Doctor and Leela was initially conceived as a Henry Higgins, Eliza Doolittle style relationship.
Henry Higgins.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but we haven't, other stories that we've been reviewing recently have had sort of connotations.
Yeah, Ghostlight.
Yeah, we were talking about Ghostlight.
And there was another one. I'm sure there was a previous week we mentioned it as well. But there you go. Yeah, so then we come to one of my favourite scenes in the theatre where Chang is going to shoot the card. Of course, we have the Daisy bit. Hang on, my phone's just...
Yes!
Shut up. Oh, God.
Yeah, Leela does apparently eventually... Yeah, Leela apparently does eventually learn all the words to Daisy Daisy, because when she's introduced to Romana in Big Finish's story, Zagreus, one of the things she... I am a warrior of the Severtine, so on and so forth, and I know all the words to Daisy Daisy.
Oh, so that's what that refers to.
It's
yeah, so...
an interest, was there, wasn't she? Yeah,
then Casey sort of... probably was the worst actor in the whole production.
Aww.
I like Casey.
Nah,
I'd say that about the Cockney bloke taxi driver.
No, he just talked a bit loudly. Yeah, so yeah, I love the scene where you know he has the card and he moves it towards his face and
yes.
stuff.
Yes.
Very good. And of course, when he gets in the box and he just walks out the back.
I know, that's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he comes back on and it's just so
says,
well done.
One
so
of
funny.
Us is yellow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. But yeah, and of course when it opens up and Casey's body falls out and the shocked expression on Chang's face was really, really good. But yeah.
On Casey's face was a bit over the top dead face.
That's what I said. He wasn't very good actor.
I don't know why it was. The first few times I saw this, I thought that Casey had been stabbed because of the swords. But actually he died of fright.
Yes.
Although
I think
must
that
have
probably
been
would have been too gruesome
for them to get him up in the story, get him up through the trap door and into the box.
Yeah, if he's already indeed. Dead, yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
So ultimately that leads to Chang getting fired by Wen Chiang, basically for constant. Well, I can't remember the words he used, but it's all these put me downs are fantastic, but it's something to do with you've let me down. That sort of thing.
Yes,
they have more and more added to the list of insults as the episodes go on.
Because
I mean, this reminds me on the level of put me downs of the Brain of Morbius. It could have some fantastic put me downs. By Solon to Kendo.
Kendo.
Yeah, fantastic.
What's the guy's name? Not Kendo.
Solon and I can't remember the Kondo.
So
wasn't
I'm
it?
Saying the
was it Kondo?
Kondo yeah,
I said Kendo. I said Kendo, didn't I? Kondo. Yeah,
I think it's Kondo. Yeah.
It is Kondo. So yes. Meanwhile, Lightfoot's had another little sleep, shall we say, little nap.
Did anybody pay attention to what Lightfoot was reading before they knocked him out?
I did, but I forgot what it was.
He was reading the Strand magazine, home of Sherlock Holmes.
No, well, I didn't pick that one up. Oh, but well, this is the point in which the time cabinet gets...
I don't think it was.
100 points to Matthew.
Never mind. Yeah, so they managed... I love the bit at the end of the previous episode when they've got the time cabinet and he's doing his evil... laugh in the thing. And he does sort of a wolf whistle, sort of... Not a wolf whistle, a wolf noise, because he's just celebrating
ooh.
The fact that... Meanwhile,
One thing when the doctor comes back to Professor Lightfoot's house and he's checking things out, he throws open the one door. And he goes, "Ni hao ma," which is Chinese for hello.
Cool.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So one of the little henchmen has failed Wen Chiang again and has given one of those lovely little sweeties and
dies straight away.
Dies very theatrically, but
yes.
Great. He has to. It's not
much
to
more dramatically than the fella in the police station did.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is when they start that Jago, well, right in this episode of Jago and Lightfoot team up as what we know now in Big Finish. And well, look at them now.
This is where everything shifts over. You go from the four episodes set around the theater to the two episodes completely. Yeah. Redone.
In a
different setting.
Yeah. Now, what got me is looking at these two characters, not so much Jago, but the chap playing Lightfoot. He looked fairly old in this, and this is like 30 years ago. And he must be ancient now, yet they're still able to... I know it's only vocal acting, but they're still able to team them up.
He's bald now.
Is he?
Aren't we lucky?
Yeah, Trevor Baxter, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, something that mystified me is that glorious location where Greel has them all trapped and Jago and Lightfoot are there and so on. If that is a place where Greel can live, why was he living in that pitiful little cellar in the theater?
Yeah. I don't understand that one
either. I think he needed to be close to Chang for Chang to be able to bring the young women to him.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense too, Matty.
Yeah.
Talking of Chang, the Doctor and Leela find Chang dying in a little hovel, taking opium, which they did mention opium earlier on in the episode.
You know something interesting?
Yes.
In Australia, those scenes weren't in because the ABC edited them out because of the opium dens and things like that. They even edited out a lot of the rat kind of stuff.
It's a bit silly because it is actually educational. It's actually educational because it's about the history of ancient China and stuff like that. So, it's a shame.
Well, the opium scene if I'm not mistaken, seems to be a reference to a Sherlock Holmes story that starts in much the same setting called The Crooked Man. But also an interesting thing is in one of these shots, Tom Baker had to come back in and dub his dialogue, and they dubbed it on very badly where they didn't even match at all, and which has been one of those goofs that people have pointed out. And I only know this thanks to Dr. Phil's Adventures in Time, Space, and Music. When they did the special edition DVD a couple of years ago, they actually Mark Ayers was able to finally go in and fix it. And so that now Tom Baker's mouth matches Tom Baker's voice.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that, Matthew. Anyway, right, so,
My edition isn't the newer one. It's the older one.
Nor is mine. It's basically... Jesus Christ.
Post is here.
No, it's dead.
Chang
dies a sort of fairly honourable death and gives out a couple of cryptic clues as to where the Doctor needs to find.
I got it. It just
find the time cabinet, etc.
I tried.
That's nasty.
Yes, hello, Death.
It wasn't funny when Adam did it, so something funny now.
Yep. Of course, he grabs the Doctor's shoe just as he dies, doesn't he?
Yes.
What was that clue? Can somebody remind me?
Well, I don't know that it was ever made known what that was.
No, I didn't.
He's giving us a Chinese riddle.
Yeah.
Giving us a Chinese puzzle.
So the design, like you say, of the sanctum where the dragon is and that, it's really, really good. And it does, obviously. Mm.
Grill's lair is in Boot Court.
Thank you.
Ah.
So, yes.
Sorry, I don't like Tom Baker.
Yogo and Lightfoot are the first people there. Again, he could have easily killed them.
Do I get 2 points?
No, you could easily have killed them, but because they're main characters, they need to stay alive.
Yes.
The Doctor gets hold his hands on
before
the little...
Before they're taking there, I love the line Jago says, "Keep back your lot, I'm a tiger with my danders up."
Again, there's another episode in which the Doctor mentions later the word blackguard.
Yes.
Right.
Why is that significant?
I don't know. I just picked up on that. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. I just wondered.
Nothing important, but just coincidental that the two Tom Baker episodes.
Blackguard, doesn't he?
Mm. But I say it's the two Tom Baker episodes.
The word came up last week as well.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah, when we were watching Ghost Slide.
I said Tom Baker, and it was no. Never mind. It was actually.
That's McCoy.
No, it wasn't McCoy. It was. The hunter bloke in the episode that mentioned the word blackguard.
Redvers,
that's the one. Yeah, so anyway. So at the end of that episode, Leela gets overcome by somebody with, it's actually Magnus Greel himself, with a little tissue in his hand.
The old chloroform.
And that's when she does the... Robert Holmes reusing his own sort of scene, really, in Cage of Androzani when she pulls off the mask.
I know.
Much the same makeup. Yeah.
Invoking Phantom of the Opera one more time.
Yeah, but yes. I do
this
like
is
the
before Caves Vandrazani, in case you
yes, obviously
don't remember.
But I do like the fact that she calls him Bent Face for the rest of the story.
Yes.
So she gets.
It was good writing for Leela, I think, wasn't
it? Was, yeah. Then of course he was script editor, wasn't he? So he'd know the characters quite well.
Him and Chris Boucher.
Yeah. So then we have the brilliant scene between Magnus Greel and the Doctor in Lightfoot's house, where he starts taking the stuff out of his pockets and offers him a jelly baby.
Yes. Red thing he takes out.
Here, would you like one of these?
Did he take that red thing out when he was in Genesis of the Daleks as well?
I don't know.
It looks like something he took out then. I know he took out a yo-yo back at
the... But you know, another thing that reminds me of...
He's got a Batmobile.
When he's got the...
Yeah, I was supposed to mention the Batmobile.
When he's got the key, you know that reminded me of? Victory of the Daleks, when the Doctor had the jammy dodger.
Take a soap.
Yes.
Take a soap.
Take a soap. Yeah, so that's a great scene between...
It looks like it, doesn't it?
The Doctor and the arch-villain. I do love the scenes that they put together in the 70s of the Doctor and the arch-villain. You have to wait for these in every story, and this was it.
Yeah.
And the great little one-on-one scenes between Lightfoot and Jago when they're incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And they worked really well. That brilliant bit where Jago... Carry on.
I was just saying, I can't believe it took so long for them to get back together again.
Indeed, but it's just the fact that his acting, when he admits he's not very brave, that's a lovely thing. Consider they've only just met.
Right.
They strike up as friendship very, very quickly.
Apparently, the actors were giggling quite a bit while filming the scene with the dumbwaiter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Can you blame them?
And basically, really? For the first 10 minutes or so of this episode, the Doctor's just walking around holding the key, just in the same fashion. That's
trionic
lettuce. Yeah, right. Yes, thank you for that.
Lettuce.
No, that is not one of the questions.
I prefer normal lettuce. Actually.
Damn!
That's quite funny. You just reminded me. I don't mean to refer to Big Brother, but they did a really funny thing on Big Brother where they did a play on words. They made them do a task. No, listen, they made them do a task in which they thought they were winning certain prizes. So, like brownies, and it turned out to be brown E's, letters E's that were painted brown. And one of them was that they wanted letters from home. So they did all these tasks, like eating something revolting or whatever. And when they got their prize, they opened the box up and it was just Back's box of lettuces.
They're disappointed.
Shut up, Reese. So, yes, there's a big
Adam
reunion.
Stop talking about Big Brother, Adam.
I am back to Doctor Who now.
It's
sorry.
Starting here tonight, Adam.
Is it good? I like Doctor Who. I like Big Brother. It's good. Anyway, moving back to Doctor Who. This is a big reunion between the Doctor, Jago, and Lightfoot, and then the Doctor gets shot. Hang on, I'm just having a quick conversation with my lovely wife. I can drive you up there.
Hello, Deb.
Robert says hello, Deb.
Hello, I can't.
I think she's got an ear infection, so she's going to the doctor's.
Ouch.
Do you want me to take you?
Well, it's just her. That's the only problem.
She's
in pain up there.
Who?
Isabella.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but it's a long walk.
7:15 on Joe. You're not finished here yet, are you? Are you coming back to this or what?
I can do. I can drop you off there, come back and then come and get you.
I need to know what's going on, please.
We'll do that then. Anyway, move on. Take them out. We'll get
Isabella all right?
Well, she's all right. So the Doctor gets shot by Sin, conveniently not killed though. But Sin suddenly turns a bit mad a little bit after this. Of course,
he goes absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, Grill gets the key and goes all mwahahahaha. Thank you. And then there's lots of people in the little prison cell that are unconscious now. Two girls and the Doctor.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and then we get the scene where Leela appears
episode. Two girls and a doctor.
Be quiet.
Didn't you say that?
No, that's just an old joke.
What website did you find that on?
Leela appears in the inner sanctum with a knife, and again she has ample opportunity to stab Magnus Grill. And instead of just stabbing him, she's die bent face, and she just knocks him over instead of stabbing him.
Yeah, yeah.
Nope.
Does she have any more Janus thorns? Maybe she didn't have any.
No, but she could easily have just stabbed him without saying
Janus. They couldn't say Janus Thorn because it sounded like an out-of-work actress.
Yes.
Yeah, because earlier in the story, she even talks about how her kind of warrior is trained to stab, from under the breastbone and all that. So I was waiting for that to happen. And then, she just knocks him over.
Yeah. So anybody ideas why, because Greer is fading away rapidly here, why Mr. Sin goes mad? And basically, I think Mr. Sin ends up killing Greer, doesn't he? Well, no, he ends up in that sort of revitalizing machine.
And then turns
into a pile of dust or something. Again, that was done really, really well.
Yeah, and just before that, they worked the story's title into the dialogue.
Yes, indeed, they did.
And also, when Leela was trying...
Sorry, Rhys.
When Lila was trying to get the gun, there was a great moment where Jago said, "All right, I'll be the distraction. I say. Oh no, he's shooting at me."
Something came over me.
Yeah, that's what she said. anyway, so yeah, she's because he's in there, and somebody goes to, I can't speak English all of a sudden, goes to touch the body, and somebody says, don't touch it. I think it's Leela, actually, doesn't she say,
Leela says, don't touch it.
And then it just crumples into a heap. So how does Mr. Sin die? Because I know she shoots the gun.
On the doctor's head, and then he just throws him on the floor.
Oh, that's right, and he defuses.
Or he disconnects his...
Yeah, I thought he was going to say solenoid or something, but he just takes the fuse out.
He pulls that fuse out, yeah.
Mm. That was quite a good battle.
Killing again.
Not really killing. The episode 4 cliffhanger, people make a big deal of the Time of Angels cliffhanger where he's holding a gun, but in this he shoots in Leela's direction, and that's a bit more scary than the Doctor holding a gun in Time of Angels.
Talking of that, of course, is when Leela has the gun and she sort of fires it, goes everywhere, and she says, I've never used one of these things before. That was really, really good.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Mm. Yeah, no, but he didn't really kill Sin, did he? He just deactivated him.
Yeah.
So I think we can give him an excuse for that.
But hold on, he's got the cerebral cortex of a pig, which is organic matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not really dead.
What happens to that? Mm. No, well.
And that essentially is it. He stamps on the key, breaks it. That's that.
Yeah, when the doctor stomps on that and breaks it, did you notice that that Mr. Sin flinches?
No, I didn't notice that. No. Oh, dear.
I think Deep Roy was just.
Well, that's the organic part still alive.
It was so close to it.
Yeah. The only thing I did notice, which was quite amusing, that Jago and Lightfoot, one had his arm in a sling, the other one a bandage around his head, yet they didn't seem to require them at the time. But never mind. Yeah, so, right, let me begin.
Can I say something real quick?
No.
Yeah, say it real quick. Really quick.
All right, just to say, once again, to make yet another Big Finish reference, the final lines of this story lead directly into Big Finish's first Tom Baker audio, Destination Nerva.
Ah.
Well, there you go. Thank you for that.
Sorry, I'll say that like Tom Baker. Oh.
Right. Now, as I say, we're going to have to race through our opinions of this story, which I think are going to be fairly unanimous.
Now, this is
one of those very rare Doctor Who stories that it is very, very, very difficult to find fault with. And to be fair, even though I've picked up on a couple of slightly irritating things, this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect Doctor Who. Yep. If they made that there's not a lot that would be different in regards to special effects. This is perfect.
But Moffat would probably ruin it with some kind of timey-wimey crap, though.
It would be widescreen, it'd be in HD, but other than that, it would be made like this. They've done a perfect job with it.
Moffat would find some way to ruin it, though.
Yes, Ben.
Ben, don't possess Robert. Just come back on.
Right. So basically, I must admit, previous times I've watched this, I've thought it's okay, but now I've watched it during this week, and it is amazingly good. It's really, really good stuff. So, right, the first one on my screen, very quickly, Robert, what do you think of this particular story?
It's always been a favourite of mine, and I'm just glad that we got such a great story that rounds off. Philip Hinchcliffe's time and we're lucky. Speaking of Big Finish, they're doing a special with Philip Hinchcliffe of how he would have continued on if he would have stayed, which is something to look forward to, which I'm looking at getting. So,
yeah, absolutely. That'd be good. Yeah. Now, I've heard of this.
But yeah, absolutely great. I love great writing, great design, and everything was just brilliant. Well cast. Loved it.
Thank you, Robert. And Matthew.
It's a strong pseudo-historical story that, like Ghostlight last week, draws heavily on Victorian Edwardian literature, everything from Sherlock Holmes to The Phantom of the Opera and Fu Manchu. It's got Tom Baker at the top of his game. There's strong production
values.
I am actually. I've written down a little encapsulated review. That one, and you still interrupt me.
Right. Can you guys carry on? Take on yourselves a bit. I'm going to take Debbie to the doctors. I'll be back. Oh, okay. Hopefully, you'll still be there doing it.
All
I get
the
back.
Best, Debbie.
Robert said,
"Good luck." Hope she's okay.
Better. Yes.
In with Isabella. Quickly now. Magic now. Move your blood ass.
Magic.
Bloody ass. Bloody ass. He needs to go to the vets if he's got it.
Yes, Kirby, I wrote a short review so I could get it out quickly so nobody would interrupt me, and somebody interrupted me anyways.
This is the 20 megabyte interrupting podcast. Come on.
Get it out. Come on.
I just realized there's a cat sitting next to me. Someone must have opened the door to this room and let this cat in. Ooh. She wasn't there a few minutes ago.
Is she pairing?
Yes.
Go on, Matthew.
Well, go ahead, Matthew. Finish.
Oh, where was I? It's got strong production big values. I'll get to Big Finish in just a second, actually. With strong production values, a fine cast, and David Maloney's direction is superb. It's a shame this was his last story for Doctor Who. And it's the legitimate end of one of Doctor Who's best eras.
Yeah, I agree.
And it was the beginning of the end. It was the beginning of the long downhill slope to the show's really downfall in the mid-80s and its eventual cancellation at the end of the decade. But to go to Big Finish for just a second, last year Big Finish actually did a prequel sequel to this story called The Butcher of Brisbane with the Fifth Doctor.
Yes,
The Fifth Doctor, Nyssa, Turlough, and Tegan, which actually fleshes out Grill's background and Mark Platt, who wrote it, who also did Ghostlight last week, took a lot of the little pieces of dialogue and references, the time agents and Bendiker, who was working on the device, and actually created an entire story around them and the Filipino army at the siege of Reykjavik.
Because that's something that he does. Robert Himes has these little things which sort of build up a bigger picture, but really they're just throwaway lines. So it's nice to see that somebody's fleshed it out.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm done. Who wants to go next?
Well, mine will be very short. Yeah, mine will be very short.
That's what she said.
Because I agree with what you're all saying, but I also read a little review about this that called it the lazy man's favorite Doctor Who, because it does have so many familiar things in it, so many favorite things in it that everybody recognizes, everybody, you know, can enjoy, and it's got the humor and all that. So it's kind of the thing that people can be introduced to the classic Doctor Who with. Everybody loves it. So because it doesn't take a lot of brain power to follow it or to make connections or whatever. It's just the lazy man's favorite Doctor Who. So I couldn't argue with that.
Can I add something to that, Mary?
Sure.
I've read that when Christopher Eccleston was cast, he had not seen any of... Was that a cat purring?
Yes, it was.
That
was Annie.
Oh,
hello, Eddie.
Hello.
She doesn't have headphones on.
Put the headphones on so she can hear.
Come on, Siobhan, put the headphones on. Oh, wait, Kirby.
Anyways, when Christopher Eccleston was cast, he had not seen any of Old Who. He hadn't watched
it
growing up.
He watched. Oh.
And this was one that Russell T. Davies sent to him to kind of get an idea of what Doctor Who was about. Yes.
Because it's at its best, isn't it? That sort of.
I don't think it's necessarily the greatest Doctor Who story ever, but I think it's one of the best stories.
Yeah,
it's
doesn't tax the person who's watching it. He can just sit back and enjoy this, even if he misses some of the more subtle references.
Yeah,
but you know what's a bit unusual is that most historicals people sort of don't like, but here's as you say, Matthew, a pseudo historical, and it is actually well loved, so I find that pretty good as well.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll go next.
Yeah, I was fixing the same.
I think I can actually disagree with that Lazy Man's choice for favorite story. I can disagree with the Lazy Man's choice for favorite Doctor Who story, because I think if it's a good story, then it's a good story. And just because a lot of people think it's a good story doesn't mean you can't think that. But I think that this is so good, I can put up with things like a silly giant rat costume, because who cares? The rest of the story is so excellent. Jago and Lightfoot are outstanding characters, and Tom Baker's at the top of his game, and I think Leela was wonderful as well.
Reese, I thought it was great to follow your updates as you were watching this. And I can see in your updates how you were getting into it and enjoying it.
I don't normally comment while I'm watching something new, a new Doctor Who episode, but this is new to me and I loved it so much I just needed to tell people.
Uh-huh. And you did.
Also because it's a long one, there's more to comment as well.
That's what she said.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot to keep track of. The quiz is going to be torture for all the details of this story.
Yes.
Wait,
and let's ask, what exactly was on that poster? You know, Master of Magic and Mesmerism. What else did they have on there?
So,
are these our crib notes?
Reese, are you done? Is it my turn?
Okay. Yes, it's your turn.
has always been one of my favorites ever since I first saw it in college on PBS in the TV room in the student center at NIU.
What century was this, Kirby?
What year?
20th century.
What year?
Somewhere in the mid to late 20th century.
Unfortunately,
of the day did you watch it?
It would have been about 4:30 in the afternoon, because that's when they were selling.
What was the exact date, Kirby? What was the exact date?
I didn't. I must admit that I regret that at the time I did not write down when I saw Doctor Who episodes.
What time did the episode 4 cliffhanger come on your screen? You wouldn't be able to tell me that.
I did. Hey, Don't laugh. I did write down when I saw Star Trek original series episodes.
Oh my gosh.
Mind you, don't be down on yourself, because I keep a diary now and I write down things like that as well. So,
I have to confess
that when I knew I was a fan, I actually did start. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Everybody get out your spreadsheets.
Exactly. This has just always been one of my favorites ever since I saw it. When I started getting DVDs, this was the second one that I got. The first one was Hand of Fear, because that was the very first story I ever saw and what made me a Doctor Who fan.
Huh.
Mm. Yeah, so, this was amongst my earliest DVD purchases as well, Doctor Who-wise.
Anyway, has Mary done her bit yet?
Yes, she has. Done.
Good, right. Well, I can move on to feedback.
Kirby's going. Kirby is.
No, I'm pretty much done.
Kirby.
He's going, gone.
Right, so...
We didn't get the year, though, that you watched it, Kirby.
What?
The year that you watched it.
The year that you watched it.
Okay, right.
I watched it.
Feedback time.
I'm older than you think. Matthew knows how old
it was.
I am.
Released in 1977. I would have watched it, because I was still in the UK.
I watched it in 1977. Right. Anyway.
I didn't watch it.
Never mind. Feedback time. This is from Alex Purcell. I said, "Hey, it's Alex from Australia." No, I'm not related to Adam J. Purcell.
Adam.
The Talons of Wen Chiang by Robert Holmes. This was a interesting story. I like the duo of Jago and Lightfoot.
Jago.
Are these the same two people in the audio plays?
Yes.
I like the Doctor's costume. It reminded me of Sherlock Holmes. Also, when Leela...
Really?
Also, when Leela pulls Wen Chiang's mask off, this reminded me of the Borad in Timelash.
Yeah.
Borat.
So
maybe a bit, yeah.
I rate this story 9 out of 10 TARDISes. Thanks for making this podcast. It's my favourite. Keep up the great work. Oh, thank you, Alex.
Oh. Thank you, Alex.
I wonder if he's got any that a 10 out of 10. Because he said this is a 9 out.
Yeah.
And what's
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
What's interesting.
That, what's that podcast that does TARDIS's ratings? Is that the Podshock?
I think it's Podshock. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Thank you, Alex. Right. What else we got here? We got Jeff Waddle. Oh. He says.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey. Hello, Jeff.
The best story ever made. Simple as that.
Good for you.
Yeah. Thank you, Jocelyn. Brilliant.
He says, thank you, Jocelyn. Do you want to say hello, Joss? Joss? Say hello.
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 Hello. Well, I can hear myself coming back now. Hello, Joss.
Just hello to everyone.
Oh. Anyway, back to the feedback. Sorry, Jeff. Brilliant dialogue, brilliant use of location. Mr. Sin is creepy as hell. I'm not bothered about the Pipkin's rat. I'll happily accept that in every story if it's as good as this. Yeah. Tom at his best, Leela at her best. It's the DVD that I've played most. I don't think anything will ever beat this. Thank you, Jeff.
Wow.
I think he liked it.
But you know something about that rat, really? It would have been all right if they could have dirtied the fur a bit, maybe, do you think?
Yes, it looked all...
Yeah, soft. Yeah. I do agree, yeah. He's a bit too clean looking, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
A bit more feedback, and... apparently, I've got to... There's a link, so I'm going to have to... Here we go, this should work. I haven't played it yet, because I haven't just received it.
Hello, Pretty Big Mac Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. The talent is Wang Chiang. Sherlock Holmes and Eliza Doolittle fight Fu Manchu in The Phantom of the Opera.
Yes!
What shall I do? I'm feeling kind of blue.
Magnus Greer is mostly played by Michael Spice and is tired and ill. In the scene where he's played by stuntman Stuart Fell, he is full of energy and swings on a rope.
Yes.
The doctor whistles a Colonel Bogey March, which was written in 1914. But he's a time traveller, so he can do anachronisms.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The doctor kills Magnus Grail. Some fans claim he doesn't do that sort of thing.
I don't think he did it deliberately.
Was going to meet Queen Victoria. A character in the story we reviewed last week was going to do that. Most people don't give a rat's bottom about the special effects.
He's got a naughty eye that flitters. You want to see it wobble when he's ironing ladies' blouses, Mr. Woo. What shall I do?
Bye for now.
Yes, thank you, Ian.
What we did, Captain. We did mention last week that there were references to this story in Ghost Light, so.
Yeah,
we did.
Except for the Chinese fowling piece was a bit different.
Yeah.
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 I've lost my thread now.
Someone was made in Birmingham.
Oh, yes. That's it for feedback, yes. But I will say in relation to Dan Van Kylenberg's ongoing audio issues, I've taken on board the volume levels of the theme music and I've really...
Hello, 20 Megawatt Podcast. Be quiet, this is Ian. Kirk.
Sorry, Ian Kirk's just come back on. You won't have heard that.
That's not nice.
Ian, you already said your piece.
Yes, exactly.
Don't interrupt, Ian.
What was I on about before Ian interrupted me? I've lost my thread again.
Ongoing audio issues.
Oh, yeah. I've re-recorded the theme tune. So that should hopefully even things out and not make people jump in. I've tried my best.
Last week's episode, all the music was loud again.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to.
What instruments did you play it, Evan?
Be quiet.
But Ian does bring up an interesting point that bothered me throughout, is that sometimes Greel is, you know, doing a very good job of acting sick, and sometimes he's, you know, strong and powerful and all that. It's like, well, yeah, it's like, whoa, let's make the difference.
Oh, we forgot to discuss the fact that the time agents were mentioned, and
no, he did.
and he's from Greel is from the 51st century.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's a very good point.
I wonder if he's ever run across Captain Jack.
I would imagine so. Maybe it is Captain Jack before he becomes the. No, he died, didn't he?
And as I mentioned earlier, And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the background stuff is in Big Finish's audio, "The Butcher of Brisbane."
Yeah, good.
Also written by Mark.
No. I've just come up with a theory. He didn't completely disintegrate when he got put into that chamber. He just got turned into sludge, which then grew into the face of Bo.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, of course. If it was really Captain Jack, of course he that would have killed him.
If you noticed, I was with my last
That's what I was alluding to. Yes.
The last set of statements I was making, I was trying to avoid the words "bring up."
Yeah, I can see that. Anyway, I'll tell you, we've had a few additional members to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group,
which is
magnificent. Keep it coming. We've got a good 11 members on the Isle of Wight Doctor Who fans group as well, which is going around. So if you're on the Isle of Wight,
are there any other people? I mean, that's almost the entire population.
Yeah, I thought you might say that. Right. What a surprise. Ha, 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 ha. Right then. It's now time for news. And again, I'm not going to give out
Why didn't we get any feedback from your friend, Matthew?
I have no idea. I thought she was going to send in feedback.
She joined the group, yeah.
Yeah, she said she was going to.
But never mind. Moving on. News. Not a lot of news this week. Doctor Who magazine cover has got Christopher Eccleston.
Well, I'd
on
say
the
there's
cover.
One fairly big amount.
Yes.
One fairly
I'll
big
come to that
story.
In a minute. Thank you very much. Right, what else have we got? Not a lot, really. What might have to be the news you were referring to? And as you mentioned it, you can mention it yourself in a minute when I've gone through. Oh, the 50th anniversary Doctor micro figures have been criticised in certain outlets. I want some. Be honest with you. I don't know if I'm going to get my hands on any, but maybe they'll sell them at the 50th anniversary convention, which I don't know if I mentioned. Pardon, Robert?
Someone needs to go to that.
Oh, yeah, there's also a bit of the Comic Con trailer's caused a bit of controversy. I haven't seen it, but, you know, it's out there. And
well, that's the problem. Nobody has seen it except.
Right,
or,
it's not out there.
Well, it's not out there. That's the problem, according to everybody out there.
Yes, it's a bit unfair, but, you know, hey, we'll all get to see it at some point.
Yeah, to be fair, it was a Comic Con exclusive.
Yes.
And it's not really exclusive
if
you
let word.
Oh, it's gone all quiet.
They let word get out that they would put it online, and they never put it online. So it's kind of we feel a bit cheated that they let that word get out.
Here's the thing that happened. The BBC never said it was good. They were going to put it online. Somebody out there started the rumor that the BBC was going to put it out there online, and then everybody got upset because the BBC didn't do what the BBC didn't say they were going to do.
Right.
So can I just ask, was this the news that you were referring to? Okay.
No.
I think I know what the news that you're referring to is. But
simultaneous broadcast of the Twiglets.
So some people are going to have to get
broadcast of
the 50th anniversary. Some people are going to have to get up extremely early in the morning for this particular task.
I wonder who that would be.
Well, that would probably be Messrs. Parton and what's the other chap called?
Well, actually, Adam, it wouldn't be that early in the morning because. I think it would work out like not too early on it. Well, for me anyway, probably more early for Reese. It depends what time. They just say early on Sunday 24th.
Yeah.
So what could that mean?
And I have to hope refer to an evening transmission. Yeah. In the
I
UK.
Have to hope that they're going to rebroadcast it here on BBC America later that evening as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is that it will be broadcast at the initially broadcast at the same time, and then it will be broadcast in prime time everywhere else.
Yeah.
The thing I'm really curious to know about is we do know that there apparently has been talk because it was shot in part of it was shot in 3D.
Yeah.
Of it being released in some theaters, and I'm very curious to know if there will be a simulcast worldwide in theaters, and if there's one nearby, you better believe I will be there.
Ooh.
Yeah, let's hope so. But I mean, it is a good idea, though.
but a lot of companies are dropping all the idea of,
I think, the 24th.
That's really weird. It's like having
it.
Two radios on at the same time, then. Let's carry on. Sorry, Luke.
There was talk of broadcasting it in 3D as well, but a lot of 3D broadcasts are being dropped by
everybody. The BBC have announced this will be the last thing they broadcast in 3D.
Yeah, it's a novelty, isn't it, really? Yeah. Right then, okay, it's now time for this week's edition of...
I like 3D movies, but 3D TVs do rubbish.
Yeah. Well, but I understand that the Chinese market is big on 3D, and so everything coming out intended for the Chinese market is supposed to be in 3D.
Also, they're doing a lot of co-production with movies with China now as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Same to you, Adam.
Yeah, really, Adam. You know, we listen to your stories.
Now there's time for this week's edition.
Yeah, Big Brother.
This is not me feeling when you're going on about.
You won't get this one.
Yeah, what if we do?
I don't care. Right, the first question goes to Robert.
Uh-oh.
I've got to reposition myself so as I can actually access my microphone. The first question goes to Robert. Which character utters the first words of Talons of Weng Chiang?
Oh, bugger.
I know.
That's going to be... could it be Henry Drake? Henry.
Would you like to start that answer again?
Henry Gordon Jago, is it?
Is the correct answer.
Yes.
Kirby, what is the name of the missing girl the cab driver was looking for?
Emma.
Is the correct answer. I would have given you a bonus point if you'd said Emma Bullen. But it is indeed Ellen. Emma, yes.
It's Emma Buller, not Emma Buller.
Yeah, Buller, yeah, sorry. All right, very good. I was just testing your pedantry. Right. Mary. Why is it was I said Mary, Reese went, uh-huh? That was a bit confusing.
We're having an identity crisis.
All right, Mary. Mary?
Okay, just in case the next thing you ask is the cabbie's license number.
Shut up. Mary!
I know.
Yes!
What is Chang's first saying? You know, these Chinese sayings, apparently. But what's his first one he comes up with?
Oh, I don't remember.
I know.
Oh, Matthew knows.
Bear that goes too quickly will step in bear trap.
Is the correct answer. Wow. It's a man who goes quickly may step in bear trap, but that's near enough. Right.
Fair enough.
Matthew.
Buller's cabbie night license number. Never is mind. 1-4-3-0-5.
Matthew.
Yes, Adam.
Who did the doctor hope they would catch at the theatre?
Little Tish.
There's the correct answer. Reese. Yeah.
Tish.
What is the name of the frightened Irishman?
Oh, how come I've forgotten that? I've said it before.
You have?
Hang on, give me a minute.
It's easy.
Give me a minute.
Yes.
I know, I've forgotten it. Casey.
Correct.
Yes.
Woohoo!
Got there in the end. Right. Robert.
I did.
How many Chinese thugs does the doctor fight with before he is rescued by Leela?
Two? Is it the...
I know.
Matthew knows.
I made a specific point of remembering this because I thought you would ask the question about it. The answer is five.
Oh, my goodness.
The correct answer.
I was going to guess five.
I was
going to
say five, but I was thinking how many did he actually fight with.
Never mind. Kirby.
Yes.
What was the Chinese man being strangled with when the police arrive at the affray?
His own pigtail.
There's the correct answer.
Yes.
Mary. How long is it since the doctor was last in China?
Beg your pardon?
That's what she said.
What?
How long was it when the doctor was last in China?
I know.
Oh, 500 years?
Nope, Kirby.
Nope. 400.
Here's the correct answer.
Matthew. Reference back to Marco Polo.
Matthew.
Mm-hmm. Marco. Yes.
What colour is the suicide pill? If anybody else talks over a question, they're going to get points deducted. And this is your final warning. What colour is the suicide pill?
Oh, come on. That is too easy.
That's easy.
It's Matthew's turn.
Red.
Correct.
Oh, he had to sweat that one.
Yeah.
Reese.
Red.
Yes.
What killed the Chinaman in police custody?
What did you just call it? You called it the poisoning... Never mind.
Yeah, okay, I know.
Poison of the scorpion.
Yeah, that'll do.
Black scorpion.
That'll do.
Think of the scorpion.
Be quiet. And at the end of that round of questioning, in last place with nothing is Mary. In second last place with 2 points is Robert. In third place with 4 points is Reese. In second place with 5, Kirby. And then the lead surprise with 6, Matthew. Right, Robert.
Well,
Me?
Yeah, you. Where does the Doctor first meet Lightfoot?
Isn't that the theatre?
Nope. Anybody else?
No.
I know.
Go on in, Mary.
Lightfoot.
At the mortuary?
There it is.
Yes.
If you'd said Limehouse Mortuary and Coroner's Court, you would have got a bonus point. But mortuary is...
Kirby would have, if he got the question.
Right, Kirby.
I just got the wrong person. I'm thinking of the wrong person when you...
What is the cliffhanger for episode 1?
Arg!
Oh, pardon? Yeah. That's...
Beg your pardon?
Yeah.
That's easy.
I know.
Wait a second. It's the rat. It's the silly rat. That's right.
Correct. Now, the trouble is, Matthew has now disappeared, so I don't know how we're going to get around that little problem. Mary!
Bring him back.
Go on, he's...
Bring him up.
He's disappeared. He's trying to reconnect him at the moment. It's trying to reconnect him.
He's still online.
Give me a colour of the pill question.
Hang on, right, here we go. All right, will do. This is your question. What colour tie does Leela wear? It's in the first part of the story, obviously.
Gosh. Orange?
Depending on what colour TV you've got, but that's near enough. It was red would do, but it was orangey, reddy, orange, that'll do.
Yeah, okay.
Matthew? Oh, he's gone completely now. As I said, Matthew, his thing disappeared off the screen.
He is completely.
His thing disappeared.
What's he playing at? He's probably rebooting his pooter.
He's still online.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
I don't think it's going to work. I'll try adding him. But...
So type in your question.
Yeah. Don't think that'll work particularly well.
You can look it up, yeah.
Anyway, I suppose we better talk about whowon.co.uk. Great place to buy
stuff. Is that whowon.co.uk?
That is whowon.co.uk.
If he's gone for too long, I'm going to have to... I might get a phone call from She Who Must Be Obeyed to go and pick her up. So, no, he's still not appearing, is he? It is whowon.co.uk. Right, let's see if we can't find some stuff about that.
Whowon.co.uk.
No, he got that wrong, didn't he?
This cat is completely relaxed.
The cat is lying on her back, purring.
Cute.
Did anybody see my picture of the squirrel being chased by the... cat. Yeah. I've got the video of that. It's just really funny. It's just
I wondered how you managed that, and then when you said it's a frame from a video,
when it happened, it was like something out of Scooby-Doo. It was going backwards and forwards underneath all the cars going down the road. Of course, me walking down the road, walking two dogs and holding an iPhone didn't really feel particularly well. Yeah, whowon.co.uk. I've got Doctor Who Mashems. Don't quite know where they are.
They look interesting.
What do Doctor Who
imagine? I think they're like squishy. Yeah, they're squishy.
Oh, they're squishy ones. Like stress things, are they?
Yeah.
They're £4.99 each. TARDIS Type 40 plaque. £39.99. And it's the little plaque that comes under the console.
Yeah.
£40 though.
Rolls Royce engine.
And it says, TARDIS, time and relative dimension in space, built site, Gallifrey, black hole, shipyard.
Well, you can read that.
Yes, they've written it underneath. You go to the website, that's whowon.co.uk.
I am. Okay. I've just
click on the item. It does actually No, that's yes. They transcribe it for you. Power of Three Cube. That's 40 quid too. I don't know what it does.
Oh,
though.
My so goodness. For a cube?
Yeah. I don't know if it lights up or anything, but it just looks like a cube.
From the same mold that made the...
That's from the same mold. Ones. Cool. Yeah. They are made using the same mold,
like
the same
coasters,
materials.
But I wouldn't use those.
The same techniques as the screen used
oh, you wouldn't,
prop. Yeah. But does it light up? I don't think it does. But yeah, that's still quite a good little novel thing. Gallifreyan coasters. They're £50. I hope they're made of metal because that's quite a lot of money.
Wow.
Four Gallifreyan symbol
yeah, brass,
brass effect.
Effect.
Yeah, so not it's brass effect. It doesn't mean to say they are actually brass. But they're very nice, I have to say. But 50 quid? Obviously, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon for the 50th anniversary. So these are rather special items you can get from whowon.co.uk, including the 12-inch British icon Dalek with the Union Jack on it. I want one.
Inch.
I want one. Yeah,
that's
so
what she said.
Great place to buy Doctor Who stuff. That's whowon.co.uk. And I'm very sorry, Matthew, but we're going to have to try and carry on. I expect he's probably rebooting his computer. I might save some questions for him. Let's see how many rounds we go through without him. So it would have been his turn. So who's going to keep count? Mary, you can keep count how many
winning.
Questions he's missed, yeah? So that's
you
one,
knocked
one,
him off.
That's one question he's owed. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, so the next question then goes to Reese.
Yes.
How was Leela found in regards to the story the Doctor told Lightfoot?
I know.
Okay. Hang on. Could you repeat the question? Leela was found in the story the Doctor told Lightfoot?
Yeah, the Doctor told Lightfoot the story how he found Leela, and he told Lightfoot a story.
Oh, in the basket in... Oh, what was it? The Orient?
No. Anybody? No. Who said I know first?
Yes, me.
Go on in, Kirby.
She was floating down the Amazon in a hat box.
Correct.
Yeah, Amazon, though. No.
That's right. Robert.
Yes, sir.
The dog's just opened the door. Sounds billowing through from the other room.
The dog
room.
Just opened the door?
The dog! Right. Whose go is it? Sorry.
Dog's opened the door.
Kirby, wasn't it?
It's mine, you said.
Oh, Robert. Yeah, sorry, Robert.
It's Robert.
What is Leela as sharp as, according to Lightfoot?
I wouldn't know, no.
Okay, anybody else?
No.
Okay, the answer is a trout.
Oh. Wait.
Kirby.
Jeez.
I think I did hear that, yes.
Kirby, what does the Doctor find on the floor on the way to the cellar with Jago?
Oh, I think I know.
Well, good, you got it.
One in here,
you got it.
Is it a glove?
No.
It
was a money spider.
Oh, the money spider. Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, because Jago and Casey
Jago found the glove.
Right. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Okay, so...
TV.
It's Mary's turn.
All right.
What does the Doctor call Jago sarcastically after he faints at the sight of an apparition?
Oh, I don't remember...
Anybody?
Pass it on.
Oh, no, Matthew probably knows.
It's a pixelated line, is it?
No. The answer is Rock of Gibraltar.
No.
So you didn't get those ones. Right.
Let's see.
Let's see if Matthew's back
on. We've got some of them.
Let's see if Matthew's back on now. It's nearly his turn. Right, is he on? Right. I'm adding him if he doesn't answer.
That scene reminds me. Why did the Doctor have a little bit of liquor in his cane?
I don't know.
We don't know that it's liquor. He didn't. We don't know that. It's just assumed.
Right.
Oh, you know what I found funny? You know when Casey says he's seen something, and Jago says, "Have you been drinking?" He says, "No." He says, "Well, we better start."
Yeah, very good. Very good. Right. It's Reese's turn. I remember there's two questions Matthew's owed now if he ever comes back again. Reese?
Yes.
What tune does the Doctor whistle as he is approached? Sorry, as he approached Lightfoot's house after Leela had thrown a knife into Mr. Sin's neck?
Question.
You talked over most of it, Reese. Do you want me to say it again?
What tune was the Doctor whistling?
Don't you deduct points for interruptions?
Or interrupting your own questions.
But I know it.
I can't remember the name of it. Pass it on. I know what it is. I can't remember
the name.
Go on
in, Kirby.
Colonel Bogey's March.
That'll do.
Yes.
Right, and after that round, Matthew may be able to catch up if he ever comes back again.
Which movie featured that
one? Be quiet. The current scores are: in last place, Robert with 2. In second to last place, Mary with 3. In third to last place, Reese with 4. In second place with 6, yeah. Matthew, but he's still owed 2 questions. But in the lead with 9 points, Kirby. Right, Robert.
I've seen this a lot.
Okay.
Mr. Blue Guard.
Robert, what is sleep for, according to the doctor?
Tortoises.
Correct.
Because that's the line I use.
Kirby.
Yes.
Who did the doctor share a salmon he caught once with?
The venerable bee. That's right.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Mary.
Yeah.
What animals are in Chang's dressing room?
Hello.
Hey,
he's back.
All right, don't get too excited. Go on in, Mary.
I can't remember.
Right, anybody like to come in with an answer? The answer question again was, what animals are in Chang's dressing room? Who came up with a me? I know.
I know.
Go on in, Robert.
I know. Dubs.
Correct.
Two white dubs.
Right, Matthew.
Oh,
Matthew.
That's right.
You're now owed
so Matthew,
3 questions. Yeah, is that right, Mary?
3.
So
yes,
these next 3 questions are for you, Matthew. Are you ready? Oh, you are. Good. Right. Are you ready?
Sure.
Right, here we go. When Leela flees to the sewers, how many bangs on the gong does Weng Chiang do?
3.
Correct.
Yes.
Next question. What is Chang a master of? According to the...
Oh, God.
Great timing. Hello?
Hi, are you finished?
No, still going, but it's all right. Have you finished?
Yeah.
Have you done the pharmacy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do I keep walking then, or...?
I don't know which way you're going to walk, do I? I wouldn't know which way you're going to walk.
Small island.
Okay.
Are you going to wait there then?
Backwards.
Right, okay,
backwards.
Yeah.
Small
okay.
Island.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Anyway, yeah. So just quick, do the next couple of questions, then we'll break off.
Well,
sorry.
She could do a funny walk.
Right. And Robbie. yeah. So the question was, what is Chang a master of? According to the poster, of course.
I know.
Is Matthew still there?
I know.
He's gone very quiet.
Matthew?
Oh, no.
Yes,
Matthew?
I'm still here.
Oh, good.
It's your question.
Your question.
Oh, was this my question?
Yeah, they're all your questions now.
Yeah.
That's what I did allude to at the beginning.
Yeah, you get 3 in a row.
Woof, woof, woof.
I know if he doesn't know.
I know you know if he doesn't know.
Magic and mesmerism.
Good. Right. Yes. And the last question you're owed.
Magic and mesmerism. Yeah.
Now,
magic
where did you look that up? You were quiet an awfully mind. Long time. Where
Matthew,
did you look
never
that
mind,
up?
Never mind. I've got to go and pick the missus up. Matthew?
I said it about 3 times before Adam finally heard me.
All right.
Having problems with the internet.
I think you are. But next question.
Sure.
What?
Yeah.
Go ahead, be
that's
quiet.
What I did the other way.
What comment by Chang did Jago think droll?
That Mr. Sen is indisposed.
Yes, correct. Now we've all caught up. I'll do this question for Reese, and then I'll go and pick up the lady, and then we'll go carry on. Right, Reese.
Yes.
The time cabinet was a gift to Lightfoot's mother from whom?
I know.
Kirby. Not from him. He knows. Give it to him.
Go on in, Kirby, then.
Well, from the imperial court, specifically. Mm. Not necessarily the emperor.
Yes. Which is
precisely,
whose name
imperial
was?
Court.
I was hoping you're going to give the name of the emperor.
Emperor.
Oh, good, great. No, I didn't. I did not.
Was that for the Ming Dynasty or the?
Does anybody know? For just for bonus point, the name of the emperor that he mentioned, the doctor.
Is it Tai Chin?
Not quite. Nearly there. It's Tung Chai. Right then, that's that completes that round of questioning, and I'll be back hopefully about 10 minutes after picking up.
Yeah,
Jeez,
because
two
of us only have 25 minutes.
That's fine. We should be able to get it done if I can get there and back quickly. See you in a minute.
Okay, hurry up.
Hi, this is Lou Jameson, or Louise Jameson, listen, and you're listening to the 20 megabytes Doctor Who podcast. Rah.
Anyway, the scores after that particular round were in last place, Mary, with 3 points. In second to last place with 4 points is Reese. In third to last place with 5 points, and unusually no points deducted, it's Robert.
Excuse me.
Thank you. In second place with 11 points, Kirby, and the lead, surprise prize, with 12, it's Matthew. Right, the next question goes to Robert.
I was in the lead until Matthew came back.
Right. All right, Robert.
No resentment there.
I've only got 15 minutes. Robert.
Yes, sir.
How did Lightfoot describe Leela's appearance in her new dress?
Oh, I can't remember.
I think I know.
Go on in, Matthew.
You would die, Matthew.
She's quite delightful.
Correct. Kirby.
Yes.
What was the name of the artist singing Daisy Daisy?
I don't remember.
Go on in, Matthew.
I don't think that's a name.
I don't know that one.
Hey! I feel like I'm going to cheat something. Go on in, Robert.
The name of the artist or the actress?
The artist. The actress was playing. It was up on a board on the stage.
I can't remember.
Oh, well, the answer is Lottie Randall.
Oh.
This was a you won't get this one.
Thank you.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's the aim.
You get one wrong and you say, ooh, Kirby. I don't know how to get this.
Kirby.
What? It's my turn. I just had one.
I'm sorry. Mary.
Yes.
What card, so be quiet, what really, card so did Chang confused. Aim to shoot with a magic bullet?
I know.
What?
I know.
Say that again.
Were you talking over your own question again?
Of course I was, yes.
What card did Chang aim to shoot with a magic bullet?
I know.
Oh, Ace of Diamonds. Okay.
Correct.
That's it.
Yes.
Very
Woo!
Nice.
Woo!
Matthew.
Yes.
2 points. Well done. There's no point in answering the question. No, I've gone. Matthew, what did the doctor call Mr. Sin?
The Peking Anomalous?
Near enough.
Not quite. I know.
Go. Oh, I'll give him a point. If you know the exact answer, you can have one of...
Homunculus.
It's correct. Okay, so 1 point to Matthew, 1 point to Kirby. Right. Next is Matthew. No, it's not. It's Reese.
Yes.
What was? Hang on, that's funny. Oh, sorry. It did a misspelling on my question. What war did Mr. Sin's like? I mean, as his species. What war did Mr. Sin's species almost cause?
I know.
Pass along to Kirby. He knows.
Not even have a try. For goodness' sake, go on in, Kirby.
I don't know.
Kirby.
World War VI.
Correct. Right, Robert, who does Wang Chiang order to take the sting of the scorpion pill by way of punishment for failing him? What was the name of that little man?
Wow.
Dying guy.
Oh,
pardon?
That was very hard.
Are you trying to tell me you won't get this one?
I don't know. There's so many of them.
Go on in, Kirby.
Lee.
Yes.
Robert
said
Lee in the first
place.
Well, I didn't hear
Robert
that because you lot are talking over each other.
I didn't hear it either.
I didn't hear it.
Well, I'll give you a point each.
You didn't say it then.
I'll give you a point each and shut up. Well, I'll take a point off each. Right. Robert.
Yes.
What energy... Be quiet. What energy... What? Stop confusing me. Right, magic. Where is he? Oh, he's in the other room. You're lucky. Kirby!
Just ask questions.
Well, stop talking over me questioning.
Sigma energy, anyway. Sigma energy?
What? I haven't even asked a question yet.
Is that what you can ask, though?
Yes. I'll give you 2 points for that, even though it's not your question. That was really, really clever. Right then, Kirby.
Wait a second. normally, when he does that, you subtract points.
No, that's outstanding. That's
You predicted the question.
Yeah. Just for the record, the question that Robert would have been asked was, what energy does Wang Chiang not understand? The answer, of course, Sigma energy. I'll give you 2 points. Right then, Kirby.
But I knew Sigma energy.
I did too.
Yeah. So?
You told me you've only got 10 minutes left.
Yes.
Right. Where does Chang say that Wang Chiang will kill again?
Say what?
Where does Chang say that Wang Chiang will kill again?
I don't know.
I know.
Anybody? Go on in, Matthew.
House of the Dragon.
Correct.
Wow.
Ah. Mary.
Yes?
Where does Chang's ancestors walk to greet him from?
Don't know.
Anybody? Oh, Matthew.
The Jade Palace.
Correct. Matthew.
Oh, yeah.
I would have known that.
What does Jago say when they are caught by Wang Chiang's henchmen?
Oh, that's funny.
I take it you know the answer then, Robert.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact line of dialogue.
No, I just remember it's funny. Go and say it. As much as you know.
Something about being quite like a tiger when he's roused something.
I'll give you a point, because that's still more or less what he's saying, but it's the funniness of
Reese
the line. Go on, Reese.
Keep back, you lot. I'm like a tiger when my dand is up.
Correct.
Yes.
Ah.
Right.
That's Reese said it before.
Now. Whose question is it now? I've completely lost track of where it was. Is it Reese's
question?
Reese.
That was my question, yeah.
Yes.
What does Leela say when the doctor says, do you know what that is? When he finds the key to the time cabinet in his bag.
Ooh. You're asking me just to tell me.
Correct.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That was great.
That's right. Yeah.
It's a great line. Really good.
Right. Mm.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
What of Lightfoot's weapons does Leela try out before she removes Wang Chiang's mask? There's two of them.
I know.
Point for
I can't
each.
Remember.
Who said? Who said? I know first. Kirby.
Matthew and Kirby.
Who said it first? I need to know.
I don't know who said it first.
I thought Matthew said it first.
Kirby, I'll give you the go. Go on, you get a point for each.
Can I name both the cricket bat and the golf club?
I did say you get a point for each. That does.
No, that's right. Because she did.
I'll keep my patience.
I love how she used the golf club as a spear.
Right, yes. Kirby.
And she subtly goes closer to the curtain.
Kirby.
Yes?
This is your question. What has Wang Chiang never appreciated?
Oh, I know.
Sunset. Well,
go ahead, take it.
Reese. Correct. Okay, Mary.
Yes?
What soup does the doctor say he will have when he suggests to Wang Chiang that his sanctum is where all the cooking is done?
I don't remember.
Ham.
Pass it on.
Anybody?
No. Pea and ham.
No. Bird's nest soup.
I know.
Too late. I said anybody, and he said it's far too late.
Sorry.
Whose go is that? I've lost.
Can I say it
again.
Anyway?
Go on then.
Yeah, go on.
Bird's nest soup.
Yeah, so just after I gave the answer. That's brilliant. Brilliant.
Right, I didn't hear you say it.
I think that was Mary's go.
Mary's trying to answer.
Right, so that makes this one Matthew's go. Steady
People
on, Robert.
Talking over each other. You had said it. I missed it.
Sorry.
Are you done dying yet, Robert?
Yeah.
It's going to be edited in the episode later, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah,
he'll
edit that in.
Stop flapping your ears. Magic. Yes.
Sorry, Matthew.
Matthew.
Yes.
I think this is your question. I've completely lost track of where I was. If the previous one was Mary's question, this is Matthew's question. Is that correct?
That's correct.
2 points to me then. Right then. What are Wang Chiang's pseudonyms? There's three of them.
I know one.
Magnus Greel.
One.
The Butcher of Brisbane.
Two.
And the infamous Minister of Justice.
Three. Right, so we get 3 points.
Nice.
Nice.
Well done. Reese.
Yes.
How many deaths can be laid at Wang Chiang's door?
Ooh.
I know.
Thought you might.
Matthew, can you answer that? Go on, Matthew.
100,000.
Correct.
Jeez, exactly. You counted them?
Oh, dear. Right then. Robert.
And yet he doesn't kill Jago and Lightfoot. Yes, sir.
There's not many questions left, actually, so here we go.
Thank
what does
God.
The doctor... Shut up. Yeah. What does the doctor call matches for the benefit of Lightfoot? What does he call the matches? It's a name that they used in that period.
Oh, it's on the tip of my brain.
It used to be known.
Know.
Whose question is this? Whose question is this?
Oh, I remember
know.
Now.
I like them, are they? I don't know.
I know.
It was Robert's question, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
And
well, not firelighters.
No. Anybody? Who came up with I know first? Be honest.
Kirby.
Kirby said it was on his brain.
Go on then, Kirby.
It's Lucifer's.
Is correct. Right. Kirby. Kirby, yes. This is your question. There's three questions left. Where is Wen Chiang's food supply halfway to during the final battle?
Oh,
it's a place now. Those girls, is it?
Yeah.
I think I may know.
Go ahead.
Go on in, Matthew.
Is it Bedford?
Nope. Blackheath.
Oh. Black.
Yeah.
Mary.
Ned started with a B.
Mary?
Yeah.
What did the doctor treat everyone to at the end of the story?
Okay, I'm sorry. Everybody talked over it.
What did the doctor treat everyone to at the end of the story?
I know.
I remember jelly babies.
Can I say?
Yes.
Muffins.
Correct. And the final question goes to Matthew. Reese, but you will have a chance in an unlikely event of him getting this wrong. What was the last line of the story uttered by Jago?
It would have impressed Lee Sang Chain himself.
Yes.
Reese, can you be a bit more accurate with that? We'll give him a point for that.
No, I can't.
Okay, the line was, I bet the great Lee Sing Chang himself would have appreciated that, but it was on the right lines. Right, so the final scores of this week's, you won't get this one in last place. Anybody guess? You get a point for getting this one right.
Mary?
Do I get a point for saying it's me?
No, I was joking, actually. In last place, Mary with 5.
Still in last place.
In second last place, Reese with 7. In third place, Robert with 9. And if I say in second place with 17 points, Kirby in the lead, and the winner this week, surprise, Matthew with 19.
Matthew won?
But there were 45 questions this week because it was quite a long story, wasn't it? Right.
Yeah.
And it's classic Doctor, and that's going to be one of three people, usually.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. Next week's review story is The Mask of Mandragora.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
You're starting to crackle again, so we don't really care. Soon.
Yes. Did you get that? Mask of Mandragora for next week?
Yes.
Good, right.
Yes, Mandragora.
And thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for joining us. See you again next week. It'll be Sunday, by the way. Until then, goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Remember My Doctor Who Podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
I mean, this is the Isle of Wight, after all. He barely starts the engine, yeah, and he's there.
I'm amazed that she was able to get into the doctor.
And he's not here to tell us all. So
and to the pharmacy, too. You know, like, whoa, when did we not wait it over an hour past our appointment time? Where did she go? Their doctor must not be very busy.
National Health Service, I guess.
It's the Isle of Wight. There can't be many patients.
I was just going to say, it's not the NHS.
That's true, yeah, Isle of Wight.
He's going to be really grumpy with us when he gets back and edits this.
I'll see if I can give us another cat moment.
That loud berry.
Yeah.
It's like a motorbike.
Yeah, she's right here on the bed next to me.
Oh. Well, my cat's asleep on the top back of the sofa.
My one left. You'll come back later.
I'm sure the listeners are enjoying this catcast. Podcast.
Matthew's dropped out again. Matthew, what's up?
We know that Adam does some editing. I thought he did some masterful editing last week, where he was mixing up who the person was under the door at the beginning of Ghostlight. That was completely fixed.
How come our mistakes don't get edited out, though?
Because we don't run the podcast.
Because he wants to sound like a god.
We've got to sound good occasionally, don't we?
Well, Robert, if you want to sound good, you got to start your own podcast.
Yes, I suppose so, yes.
Well, go on, Reese. Reese found out it's not that easy, is it, Reese?
What are you referring to?
The early rougher days of your podcasting.
Ugh, bloody internet.